This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along this afternoon as we talk to some folks from a Christian farmers organization. We'll tell you all about it today on the WPGM Community Forum. We're joined by Michael Steele. He and his wife Karen have been involved with this organization for nearly the last two decades. In fact, they recently started a separate chapter to cover a different segment of Pennsylvania. Michael, thanks for being with us on the program today to share this information with our listeners. Michael, let me ask you first a bit about this organization, the Fellowship of Christian Farmers International. I understand there's chapters all over the country, but here in Pennsylvania, you're involved with a newer chapter, which kind of splintered off from an existing chapter?
That's correct. We are the Pennsylvania Northern Tier chapter. My wife and I have been with the Northeast Pennsylvania chapter since 2001 and her since 2004. And we got a lot of good witnessing experience meeting the people out in the field. And we decided we wanted to try to reach the people of the Northern Tier. And so the international office out in Lexington, Illinois, gave us permission to start a Pennsylvania Northern Tier chapter.
Okay. Now, the organization with farmer in the name, you think of farmers, is it only for farmers or is it a group of farmers who are doing the reaching out? You know, kind of explain the connection there to farming.
It's actually kind of both. It was started by farmers back in 1985 when they got together down in San Antonio, and they realized how much the farmers lean on the Lord for everything. And there's a lot of money goes out to big business. But not a lot goes out to the farmers, and they depend so much on the weather and everything that they realized they really leaned on the Lord, and they wanted to share that with everybody. Their main target really is the agriculture industry. That's why you'll see them at FFA conventions, farm shows, county fairs, because county fairs are strong in agriculture. But they also kind of do reach out into other areas. My wife and I, we work the West Branch Home Builder Show, Susquehanna Builder Show, at Lycoming College, which is not really ag-related, but we're just trying to reach souls for the Lord.
Your background, lifelong farming, or what? You know, what? Where have you been in your career that you know that this is a good fit for you?
It's funny because I was not from a farm, but my father always had a huge garden. So we were a step down from a farmette, I guess you could say. My wife is actually from a farm. She was born and raised on a farm in Perry County in the Millerstown area. And it was just really as simple as when 9/11 hit. I was at the church with the rest of them praying for the country. Someone came up to another gentleman I was talking with and said, "We could use your help if you're free." And I said to this gentleman, "If you need help with something, let me know." And so he said, "The Fellowship of Christian Farmers were going to be at the Bloomsburg Fair and they need help." And so I started with them there and I've been with them ever since.
And Bloomsburg Fair, you mentioned that, and that's a way some people may have had some contact with you or at least be aware of the organization because that's kind of something that happens every year at the fair. Explain what goes on there with the group and, you know, how you do an outreach there.
It's really amazing that we can be in there because there's not a lot of Christian influence in there. We've been there since 2000, I believe it is, and we're still there yet to this day. And we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're just open. We have a tent there. Anybody who has been to the Bloomsburg Fair, the Wyoming County Fair, Luzerne County Fair, Troy Fair, Clinton County Fair, Montour DeLong or Gratz, and even the Pennsylvania Farm Show has seen the walking sticks going around. And there is a bracelet attached to that walking stick called the Wordless Book or the Wordless Bible. And it has five colored beads on the bracelet. We have people come into the tent and sit down with them, and we share those five colors. The gold stands for heaven. We want to be there with the Lord someday. The next is the black is our sin. Living in darkness separates us from God. The red is the blood of Jesus Christ, shed his blood to wash us clean on the cross. his death and resurrection. Then the white is for clean and pure. That's our response in asking Jesus into our hearts. And the green is for continued growing, like the grass is green and growing, to grow closer in the Lord. And that can be done through finding a good church, reading the Bible, and taking prayer time. And so we are just sharing this with the people. And we get so many different people come in. And it's a tremendous outreach because we've had people say, I can't come to a church. I don't feel comfortable, but I can come into your tent. So there's still, we are out in the field. We're that kind of that halfway house out there to reach the people.
You know, as you went through those callers, I'm familiar with them, but do you find a lot of people coming in are you know, pretty much grew up without that kind of background, and it is all new to them?
It is. It really is. It's been a generation or so of maybe people quit going to church or what, I can't tell you. But the amazing thing is when you share these colors, oftentimes the people aren't looking at you. They're staring at the colors. You could see the focus on them receiving the word of Jesus Christ, the message. And a lot of them have never heard it. But then there's a lot of them that have heard it and just have not received. And then some of them, I always say, it's just kind of putting the old Holy Spirit jumper cables on them. We're just trying to reinvigorate their love of the Lord.
All right. And those folks come through and are given a walking stick. How do you get them in there in the first place?
Well, usually you have someone standing right at the front of the tent, just kind of talking to the people as they come by. We want to be very respectful to the other vendors around us, and to the fairgrounds and the authority of the fairgrounds. So we're not going to go out into the fairgrounds too much and do anything. But we'll stand at the front. We'll talk with people. Some people are even kind of uncomfortable coming in. So we'll share the colors right out front there where they don't have to come in, but this way they can get the message. Sometimes it's just kind of sitting there right in the front waiting for people to come up to you. And it is amazing how the Lord really draws these people in. And so many of them don't know the Lord and they're coming up. And we had one gentleman who was a Christian man, and him and his brother were in their 60s, and his brother wanted to get a walking stick. And he said to him, you know what they do in there, right? And he says, yes, but I want the walking stick. I want to hear this. His brother came in with him. They listened to the message, and his brother prayed and asked Jesus into his heart. And he told me later that week, he said, his brother has done nothing but listen to Christian radio now. Wow. He said, you could see the change in him. And so there's a lot of people come in that don't know the Lord. You don't even have to call them. It's like the Lord just kind of draws them right over to the tent.
You probably have a thousand stories like that from working the fairs, I'm sure, from exciting things that happen. Yeah, and whichever member you talk to. How many people are involved in your new chapter and the other chapter in Pennsylvania? Any estimates on how many are involved?
Okay, if I had to venture a guess for our new chapter, we probably have about 6 or 7, maybe. And the other chapter, it really kind of fluctuates through the years as some will come and some will go. And I would say we probably would have about 20, but some will do only events more regional for them. Like we do the Luzerne County Fair, Wyoming County Fair. So we'll get one or two people, maybe 4 or 5, from the Wilkes-Barre, Scranton area. They'll help out there. Other people live more northern region up in the Troy area will help out with the Troy Fair and things like that. So it kind of fluctuates due to region. But I'd say overall, probably about 20 or so for that chapter.
You know, we talk about the fairs, but are there other aspects of this ministry that go on also behind the scenes, you know, as opposed to reaching out, also just as a, you know, support for one another?
Actually, there is. There's two other things that are actually very big. And this is what makes this ministry so different from a lot of ministries. First off, they have a short-term missions trips that they do, a lot of short-term missions trips. They can be anywhere from within the United States to boys camps that need to have some refurbishing done to going down to Mexico, to other countries, South America, to help them, teach them Jesus, to help build their houses up, to help build churches So that type of thing, short-term missions. But one of their big things is what they call rapid response team. When there is some sort of a natural disaster within the United States, they try and assemble some people to get to the farms in that area to help them. For instance, probably about 6-7 years ago now, there was heavy snows hit Colorado, and a lot of the cattle were trapped out in the fields when the snow hit. They made it a beeline for the woods. So our group was getting hay and airlifting and dropping the hay into the fields near the edge of the woods until the farmers could get down there and get the cattle out. So we were getting them feed for there. We had fences burn. There was a huge fire and fences burned in Texas, and we got guys down there putting up fences right away so they could get their cattle back into the fields. And just last year, there was hurricanes that hit in, I think it was South Carolina and North Carolina, and we had teams down there with chainsaws pulling the downed trees out of the field so the farmers could get back to planting their fields. Back after 2004 was Hurricane Katrina and then Rita. After Rita hit southwest Louisiana and Texas, my wife and I actually went down too, and we were pulling barbed wire fences out of the rice paddies to help them to be able to replant the rice paddies and to get the barbed wire came from fences around the rice paddies, and they would have their cattle roam around the rice paddies, and they couldn't have that done because, A, there was no fences to keep them in, and they were afraid that the cattle would find the barbed wire in the grass. So we went down there. We had teams going down there to really help clean up the farmers down there, too. So the rapid response team is really huge, and they're trying to go wherever there is need, and they have a guy ready to man it. They have a motor coach that they take right down for the people to live out of, trying to eliminate as much cost for the volunteers to help out in these devastated areas.
Wow. And as someone who's been with this almost 20 years, that's a good testimonial to how important it is to you. Because, I mean, I've talked to people about things that, you know, a year later I see them and they're not with it anymore. I mean, this is staying power for you. Are a lot of the members like that?
They are, honestly. There's maybe even a select few that you can see how the Lord has really placed it on their hearts. Lord has given different people different ministries, and there are a few of us that really it is so strong in our hearts to reach those that don't know the Lord, to give up entire summers because it's at the county fairs, and the county fairs take up summer, and then so we're giving up our summers, and it is so neat to kind of be there and see these people that will sit at a county fair from. They usually start about 10 a.m. and get done about 10 p.m., and you'll see guys get there at 10 o'clock and not leave until 10, 11 at night. It could be 95 degrees and humid, and you almost feel like you're dying, but you're waiting for that one or two people to walk up to want to hear about Jesus.
Now, we're in the midst of our letter month here at WPGM and WBGM, and we're asking people to tell us how the station has impacted their life. And I know when you introduced yourself to me via email, your story kind of includes that as well as to how this radio station has reached out to you. Could you share a bit of that? That is, it's tailor-made for our letter month special.
WPGM, WBGM has really almost like my training to get into the ministry. I was working back in 2001 at Coons Brothers Log Homes down in Lewisburg. I was working at the warehouse. That's right in like a valley. And I'd work in the warehouse. I was by myself, and I'd have the radio to keep me company. And believe it or not, the only radio station that would come in that valley was WPGM and WBGM. And I just sat, and I got such tremendous teaching all day long from all those fantastic programs. And like I said, that was 2001, and that was early. So now September 11, 2001 comes along. The terrorist attacks hit. I was there when it occurred. And that's when the Lord placed me into this ministry of reaching the people. And I feel, I strongly believe that that was on purpose by the Lord to really train me to have such a good, strong Bible structure to go out and reach these people, is to have that, what VGM and PGM gave me at that time. And I still think where other people get seminary, the Lord gave me WBGM, WPGM to get me where I need to be for Him.
Fellowship of Christian Farmers International, how can folks get more information if they're listening right now and would like to know more?
There is a website, www.fcfi.org. It stands for Fellowship Christian Farmers International. And go to the website. They have a lot of great information. There's a blog that they have that the gentleman constantly updates. You can see pictures of the rapid response team in action. You can see pictures of different witnessing events where they were at. They're really trying to reach out to the FFA, the Future Farmers of America. There's a chapter in every state, and they really want to try and touch the lives of these young men and young ladies as they grow up manning the farm, to strengthen their hold on Jesus Christ, and if they don't know about the Lord, then to introduce them to the Lord too. We do have a Facebook page for our chapter if people want to see what's going on in the Northern Tier, and I try and add a little bit from national. And so it's just to look on Facebook at FCFI PANTC. We put on everything for Pennsylvania Northern Tier Chapter.
And we've been talking with you, but like you said, your wife, Karen, also heavily involved in this. Are couples a common thing, or are you guys one of the few?
We're one of the few. There's a couple from up in the Northern Tier area, husband and wife, that she is the strong witness, and he is a strong helper in helping us have the tent set up, making sure the lighting is working, making sure everything, the supplies. David and Sally Good are a tremendous help to us. One is a witness, one is more materials and that type of thing. We have a couple out in the Wilkes-Barre area, Andy and Kathy Marshall, that are also great witnesses. They both love to come and just share Jesus with the people. So couples are kind of rare, but there are some out there. And we always encourage them, come together, be side by side doing this. Enjoy a ministry where you can share Jesus together. If it's busy, we often will have them kind of separate a little bit. One will take a person or two or a couple, another one will be ready. And we tell them, hey, if it's a little slower, sit down side by side and share Jesus as a team. Right now is a time of big need. Back in 2001, when I started with them, 2 weeks after the terrorist attacks, was the Bloomsburg Fair, where we normally will see 400 people on a day, 300, 400. We gave out, in 8 days at that fair, 9,000 walking sticks. That is 9,000 people that came in, got a walking stick, heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That did not include those under 18 years old, because under 18, we don't give the walking stick out of precaution. So that didn't even include them. That was a tremendous time of need, fear, apprehension, question. We have the same thing going on right now with the COVID-19 hitting not only Pennsylvania, not only the United States, but the whole world. There's a lot of fear, a lot of apprehension, and we don't have any government agencies really reaching out to these people in their fears. We don't have any social programs reaching out to these people. And the churches aren't really reaching out to these people that have the fears. Part of it might be, what can we do? My wife and I came up with what we call the Envelope of Hope campaign. And this envelope has a letter explaining God's love for people, and it gives some Bible verse. We also have a salvation prayer paper that we add into it so they can ask Jesus into their hearts. And we also have what we call the Facts of Life paper. And what that is, some facts, now that you're a new Christian, It encourages them to get a Bible. It encourages them to find a good church. It has different things like that. So we thought, how can we reach out to these people? So we created this envelope of hope, and we're trying to get a hold of churches to see if, could you get a hold of your congregation? Now, I know when you think about it, Matt, one of the big things, if the devil could do two things to disrupt the church, what would they do? It would be close church doors and isolate people from each other. And fortunately, with the Lord had already placed in operation Facebook, and the churches, when they close their doors, are still able to reach out to the people. But it's the isolation that's really a big thing, too. It is upsetting people. They're having high suicide rates and overdose and things like that. Let's reach out to these people. Let's work as a team. We want to work with the churches to reach out. If the church congregations are in a position, they could get maybe names and addresses of family, a neighbor, a coworker that doesn't know the Lord. We could get this envelope to them and see if we can reach them with Jesus Christ through a difficult time. Even if churches will want to do this, if they could get the names and addresses, if they would feel comfortable, we would get our envelopes to the church. We will have the stamp and everything in it. They just have to put the name and address and send them out. We're trying to find, just like Facebook at this time through a difficult situation, as an evangelistic ministry, we're trying to find another way to reach out to people in need at a very difficult and unusual time.
Hey, we want to thank you for joining us on the program today. Michael Steele has been our guest. We appreciate him sharing more about the Fellowship of Christian Farmers International.
We appreciate you just giving us a chance to kind of let the people know who we are and we're out here, and keep us in their prayers, because we're still trying to reach souls even in a difficult time. And I have a strong heart, part in my heart for BGM, PGM, because you guys really helped make me who I am and what I've done.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.